All right, am I on now? Good. Okay, so we tried this a few weeks ago, and I want to try this again. And first of all, let me say welcome. You know, thanks for joining us. But we're going to try trivia again. And so we're doing trivia off of Micah. But I only got three trivia questions for tonight because we've only studied the first two books. So I didn't have a lot of trivia questions for, there's only so much trivia you can get out of the first two chapters of Micah. However, I do have three questions, and so we're going to try this again. We tried this a couple weeks ago, and half of it didn't work, so it was showing that it's working, so we're going to try this again. So let's do the first question. How will the mountains be when the Lord returns? A, purple. B, molten. C, bigger. D, majestic. Anybody got any answers? It's a good one, isn't it? B is correct. There you go. B is correct. All right, let's go to question number two. What bird is mentioned in Micah chapter 1, verse 16? And I think this is the King James Version mentions this, because if I remember correctly, I read out of the NIV, and it wasn't any of these answers. So I didn't necessarily read it, but it is on here. And what bird is mentioned? A, sparrow. B, blue jay. C, hawk. D, eagle. A, C. You think it's A too? Let's show them the answer. It is eagle. And actually, the NIV version that I read, I think it said vulture. So, question number three. How is this time described in Micah chapter 2, verse 3? As A, dangerous. B, lovely. C, fun. Or D, evil. D, anybody got a different answer? You agree with D? William, you agree with D too? Do you agree with D? Okay, let's see the answer. It is D. D is the answer. Good job. So, I'm going to try to do some trivia each week is my goal. It might just be two or three questions. But I took a test today trying to do Answer Micah trivia, and I failed miserably. I got like a 25%. And I'm like, man, these are hard. So I tried to find some questions that weren't so hard. So, some of them were like very detailed. Like you had to know it frontwards and backwards or something. And then you also, what version of the Bible are they using? Because some words are different in other translations, you know. But anyway, so here's a couple announcements. This Sunday, we're going to have Operation Christmas Child boxes available. You'll be able to pick up one in the foyer, and we will collect all boxes by November 15th. So you say, well, isn't that early? Yeah, it is, but here's the way I look at it. That gives you about a month and a month and a half to get your stuff and go out and shop and do different things. And so that way you have plenty of time to fill that box. And then if you want to do more than one box, take you more than one box, you know. But you'll have plenty of time to get that done. And then another announcement that I have is if you would like to host a big candy location for Halloween this year, please see me. I have a yard sign that we're going to put in everybody's yard that's going to do it that says Big Candy October 31st. And then it says, I think it says cliffterrace.church. And then we will also provide the candy for those that want to do that. I need to know who all the participants are by October 18th. That way that sign can be in your yard for 2 weeks so everybody will know that you are hosting a big candy time for Halloween. So let's get into our Bible study this week. And today we're continuing the book series that we began last week, and we are looking at the book of Micah. And if you want to follow along, both you here and those there on YouTube, we are reading chapter 3 today. And some of this, as I was reading it, I was like, man, I'm going to have to interpret this. I'm going to have to, because I was reading it and I was going, man, this is some kind of weird language that the way Micah is he's using a metaphor, and it's just kind of like over the top. But it's going to make sense when we get to that. But here's our main theme, our main thought for tonight is this. God is so concerned with how we treat others and represent Him that He will do whatever it takes to make sure we treat others as He intends. Can I tell you that it's important to God in how we treat one another? You know, we always hear people talk about love, and that's important to God, is how we do love, have a love for one another. So we're going to look at that. So this chapter today that we're looking at, chapter 3, prophesies against the cruelty of the ruling classes, the deceit of false prophets, and the injustice of Judah's spiritually rebellious leaders, priests, and prophets. Now these people should have been setting the example for all the others, but instead they were leading the people even further from God. As a result, God would punish all of them as they deserved. So we're going to read chapter 3 of Micah. And it says this, "Then I said, 'Listen, you leaders of Jacob, you rulers of Israel, should you not embrace justice, you who hate good and love evil, who tear the skin from my people and the flesh from their bones.'" Well, that sounds kind of graphic there. But what he's talking about, the nation's leaders at that time had abandoned God's proven standards, and they had substituted their own rules and regulations, and most of which of their own rules and regulations, they were just the opposite of God's standards. They ran after evil as if it was good, and they practiced injustice as if everything was just and fair. And they did this so they could get what they felt they deserved. Now, many people today, both in the church and in the world, have also switched the roles of evil and good to fit their ungodly belief systems, to serve their misguided purposes, or simply to justify their immoral behavior. God calls us to reject this trend and to love righteousness and hate wickedness. Now, it's a lot easier if we make the rules bend for our favor, right? It's a lot easier in life if we say, you know, I don't like what that says. This is what, so I'm going to make it say what I want it to say. And, you know, people will, you see people in different things that how, according to how they may believe, they will twist the scriptures to make it fit what they want it to fit in. And that's what they were doing back then. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 9 says, "You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore God, your God, has set you above your companions by anointing you with the oil of joy." Now, it's not enough for God's people to love what is right and true. They must also, like, just like Jesus did, hate evil. There's truth to that. Not only must we love what is just and good, but we must also hate evil. But you see, back in during Micah's time, the nation's rulers had abandoned God's standards. So let's look at verse 3. He continues. He says, "Who eat my people's flesh, strip off their skin and break their bones in pieces, who chop them up like meat for the pan, like flesh for the pot." Now, let me explain this here. That sounds kind of weird. Did they really do that? So in this verse, Micah is using a metaphor, and he's describing the unjust leaders to hunters who kill. So he's making a metaphor. He's saying, you know, these leaders are just like hunters, basically, is what he's saying. And some of you may be thinking, why didn't he just say that? Well, it wouldn't be near as cool, right? If he just said black hunters, you know. So he had to get descriptive. But the leaders, they were so harsh to God's people that they were not satisfied with just tearing off the skin and eating the flesh, figuratively. They even chopped up their bones as if they were preparing a stew. And they did this by unfair legal actions, by bribery, by theft, by oppression, and even by bloodshed. They left the people helpless. And by contrast, faithful leaders protected their charges and looked out for their welfare. The people in Micah's day were being betrayed by their leaders, for they really cared about the people. For if they really cared about the people, they would have turned them back to God. In other words, if they truly cared for the people that was in their charge, they would have told them, hey, you need to repent. You need to serve God and serve God only. You know, last week we talked about they had forgotten about the Ten Commandments. They had just basically said, you know, we reject everything. We're going to do what we want to do. And if the leaders had been godly leaders, they would have told the people, hey, you need to repent and turn back to God. Look at verse 4. It says, then they will cry out to the Lord, but he will not answer them. At that time, he will hide his face from them because of the evil they have done. So what he's saying here is he's saying, because of the leaders' evil and cruel behavior, God would refuse to answer their prayers. They would find themselves helpless and separated from God. Now, one thing that you've heard me say this before, if you've heard me teach very long at all, but there will come a time. Now, Mike is prophesying in about 700 BC, 725 BC, somewhere around there. Okay? Now, here in about 300 years from that moment, God's going to go silent. And he's going to not speak to the people anymore. He's going to be like, I'm done. And he won't speak to them for about 400 years until he sends Christ to come to earth. And so, I mean, it's going to get to a point where he's not going to answer the prayers. He's not going to talk to them. He's not going to have anything to do with them. And so Micah is prophesying here. Look at verse 5. This is verse 5 through 7. It says, this is what the Lord says. As for the prophets who lead my people astray, they proclaim peace if they have something to eat, but prepare to wage war against anyone who refuses to feed them. Therefore, night will come over you without visions, and darkness without divination. The sun will set for the prophets, and the day will go dark for them. The seers will be ashamed, and the diviners disgraced. They will all cover their faces because there is no answer from God. So, in these three verses, verses 5 through 7, God is speaking to the false prophets of Micah's day. And God wanted to lead his people back to the path of truth and a right relationship with him. But the false prophets knew that it would take away their influence. And they made the people feel good about themselves and comfortable in their sinful lifestyles by speaking a message of false hope and security. I mean, by doing this, they were encouraging the people to sin. So these guys that were supposed to be the religious leaders, the prophets, and you know, they're supposed to be speaking truth and hope, and they're supposed to be prophesying and saying good things. But what they were doing is they were actually giving them false hope. They were giving them false truths. They weren't telling them what they were supposed to hear. And in turn, they were basically leading these people to continue to commit sin. And so because they refused to lead the people back to God, God would abandon the false prophets. He would walk away from them. He'd say, I'm not giving you any word. I'm not speaking to you at all. And you won't hear anything from me. Now look at verse 8. Verse 8 is speaking about Micah now. So this is God saying, or this is Micah saying what God has spoken to him. And he says this, he says, "But as for me, I am filled with power, with the Spirit of the Lord, and with justice and might to declare to Jacob his transgression, to Israel his sin." So God had called Micah to be one of his spokesmen, and then empowered him to accomplish the task. Now, as any true prophet or faithful minister, Micah spoke by the power and inspiration of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit directed him to condemn sinful and unholy behavior in God's house. And it was Micah's task to reflect God's holiness and to encourage the people to do what is right according to God's standards. Now, I just want to stop for just a moment and let you know, I'm going to be doing a series that begins this Sunday on the Holy Spirit. And one of the things that we're going to talk about is how the Holy Spirit speaks through us and how the Holy Spirit works in us and gives us the power to be able to do the things that God wants us to do. And that's what we will be talking about, what Micah was experiencing here. The Holy Spirit was speaking through him to the people. So, pastors and prophets today, they have the same task. The Holy Spirit speaks through us. They must not bend to pressures, even from within the church, to conform to sinful beliefs, behaviors, or lifestyles that are common in the world. Instead, they must be God's voice for truth, righteousness, and holiness. That's what our job is as ministers. Even when it is not the most popular thing to talk about, we have to stand for the truth of God's word. Like Sunday, I said, one of the hardest things for a minister to talk about is sin. It's not fun to talk about sin. It's not easy to talk about sin. You know, I would much rather talk to you about God's love and tell you about how wonderful God's love is. I'd rather talk to you about faith. And how if we just believe in faith or healing or all these good subjects and you know, and these things. But the truth is that we still have to proclaim the truth even when it's not the most popular subject. No one likes to hear about sin. Why? Because it makes us feel bad. Right? I mean, when we do something that's not pleasing to God, it makes us feel bad. So let's read the rest of this chapter. Verses 9 through 12. He says this, "Hear this, you leaders of Jacob, you rulers of Israel who despise justice and distort all that is right, who build Zion with bloodshed and Jerusalem with wickedness. Her leaders judge for a bribe, her priests teach for a price, and her prophets tell fortunes for money. Yet they look for the Lord's support and say, 'Is not the Lord among us? No disaster will come upon us.' Therefore, because of you, Zion will be plowed like a field. Jerusalem will become a heap of rubble. The temple hill, a mound overgrown with thickets." Now, here, what I just read to you, Micah tells the leaders that because of them, the nation would face destruction. Now, this does not mean that the people were guiltless, okay? And that only the leaders were sinning. Probably the leaders were leading the people into wicked behavior, and therefore the whole nation was guilty before God. So, let me just say something here. And this is something that holds true here. Even though they had prophets during Micah's time that were supposed to proclaim the truth and tell the people the truth, right? The people still had the choice to choose. Right? The people still had the choice to choose whether they wanted to serve God or serve these false idols that they were serving. And I go back to Joshua. You remember what Joshua said at the end of Joshua? In the book of Joshua, he said this. He said, "Choose you this day who you'll serve." You get a choice. He said, "But what? As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord." So all those years before this happened, many, many years before this happened, Joshua made the proclamation there and he said, "Look, my family," in other words, he was telling them, "All of you get to make a choice. You all get to choose who you'll serve." But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And so that's the same thing here, is these prophets were telling them false stuff. But yet those people were still guilty because they were going with the prophets and not trying to follow God. They were doing what the prophets were saying. So they were still guilty. And here's something to think about. Our actions, you and me, will always have a consequence. How we treat others will be visited upon us by God. Now, this is not to be understood as karma. That's not what I'm talking about, or the concept of yin and yang balancing out life. Rather, God is the exactor of judgment for when we do wrong. So sometimes the most difficult punishment that we can face is to suffer just as those who have hurt have done. Now, a person who has lost a loved one to violence cries out for justice to be meted against the person who has left this wound in their lives. In addition to his inherently just nature, God's judgment stems also from the way those being abused are impacting him. We're seeing this in our nation today. We are seeing people, their loved ones are being murdered or what have you, or it'll be a homicide that they didn't deserve to die, or a drive-by shooting, or even a wrongful police death, or whatever. You know, there's so many things that are going on in our world, and we want justice. You know, if it happens to our family by violence, we want justice, and we cry out for justice. The truth is, God is the only one that can bring that justice. And while we, you know, certainly argue that God's emotional status is balanced and it cannot be altered by our actions, it is biblical to argue that as a relational being, God is impacted by our choices, especially in how they affect other people. The punishment of the leaders and religious authorities has as much to do with retribution as it does with giving dignity back to those who have been hurt by them. So this was a big thing. And while what I read to you today speaks directly to the people of Micah's day, the principle still holds true. The way a nation is led will ultimately determine where its people go. God did not simply destroy Samaria and Jerusalem. He sent the Assyrians. The way God tends to rectify sin or disobedience always points back to his character and what he expects from his children. Now also, had God chosen to simply wipe out both cities, it could have made his ultimate plan of global restoration and reconciliation near to impossible. When God sought to separate Israel from Egypt, he sent plagues. When he punished them for their wickedness, he would send armies and nations to separate or sift Israel, sending them into exile. Now, here's something to think about. God had a plan for everything that he did. I believe that God's plan was to prove how sovereign he was, to prove to everyone that he's in control. No matter what you and I do or think, God is still in control. Amen? And that's the thing that I have to believe. That was one of the things that I said. I am not telling anyone not to take what is going on in our world today, not take it serious. You need to take everything serious. And I would say the same thing. I think people need to take the flu serious. I think people need to take heart disease serious. I think people need to take cancer serious. I think you need to take all these things serious. Does that mean that we should live in fear? No. It doesn't mean that we should live in fear. But it means that we should have common sense, right? And we should use common sense. Now, here's what I truly believe. I believe that God is sovereign. And I believe that I should do everything that I can possibly do to live my life according to what I believe is God's will and God's plan. How do I do that? By having a relationship with God. I pray to God. I talk to him. I ask him, God, what is it you want me to do? And then hopefully I'm a good enough listener and I keep my mouth shut and will listen to what he speaks to me, right? That's the important thing. We're all good at asking for stuff, but it's a lot harder to stop and listen, isn't it? You know, I find myself doing that sometimes as I talk too much. Like, for instance, did anybody watch that awful debate last night? That was just a train wreck waiting to happen. So let me just say this. At some point, they should have stopped and listened to what the other one was saying. You know, and a lot of times, our conversation with God is a lot like that debate last night. Is we do a lot of talking, and we're constantly talking, or we're constantly trying to tell God, well, God, this is why I think you should do this, and blah, blah, blah. And a lot of times, God just wants us to shut up and listen to what he's wanting to tell us. Amen? But yet, sometimes we get too stubborn, or we get an ideal in our head, and we think, well, God, this is what I want. And God's saying, well, yeah, that may be what you want, but this is what I want. And the truth is, the only thing that matters is what he wants, right? Why? Because, and here's the thing, God is sovereign. So let's go back to what we were talking about here. We, you and I, should be able to look at the world around us and ask the honest questions of what God wants us to do. And as we read this passage in Micah, we are reminded that the leaders were not oblivious to God's expectations. They simply were unwilling to fulfill them. Now, you can't tell me that they didn't know what God's expectations were, right? Now, I truly believe that these prophets, even these false prophets, I believe they still knew what God's promises were. They still knew what God's will was. And everybody, even these prophets, you know that they had to have read the Ten Commandments. They had to have read the laws. They knew what the laws were, but yet they still continued to do what they wanted to do and not what God wanted them to do. So, if they had been willing to truly look around, they could have found a reward greater than what they had amassed. Now, giving people back their dignity is essential in governing the way God intends. And while the people of Micah's day may not have been able to see it, Christians must not be so blind to that reality. The gospel of Jesus changes everything, especially how we see things. You know, none of our actions escape the attention of God. God sees everything that we do. He's all-knowing. He's all-powerful. He's everywhere. He sees it all. He understands it all. And if he finds that we have not done what he expects, then I truly believe that he'll clean house to make sure it will get done. I truly believe that. God is a sovereign God, and God wants his will to be done. And I believe that God truly cares how we treat people. And that's a perfect example of what we've seen here in this chapter 3 of Micah. Micah spoke, he spoke out to the prophets, he spoke out to these rulers, these leaders. He told them, he said, "This you're treating these people awful." And then he also spoke to the people and said, "You're following the prophets and the leaders falsely, and you're not doing what you know to do, but what God's telling you to do." You know? And see, that's sometimes we get caught up and wrapped up into our agenda, and we forget about God's agenda. We forget about how God wants us to treat one another and how God wants us to live in this world, trying to make the most of every situation. So, I want to conclude tonight by, let's pray over this service. And I just want to make sure everybody knows that if you're on YouTube tonight, you can send us a text with a prayer need, and we'll be happy to pray with any prayer need that you have. Let's pray real quick. God, I just pray that you would just take this word that we've spoken here tonight, and God, I pray that you would put it in the hearts and lives of individuals, that it just resonates with inside them, that they understand and know what your will is for us, that your will is for us to love one another, care for one another, understand what the truth is, God, and be able to speak the truth and not let not let false truths creep into our minds and in our hearts, but let us to speak the truths that you are speaking to us. Help us to hear your voice and help us to do and commit to what you're telling us to do. And God, we give you praise and we give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen. So I just want to remind everybody, you can send your prayer needs to 479-888-7331 and we'll be happy to pray with those for those tonight. We're going to spend some time in prayer here at the end of our Bible study. And thank you for being with us. Also, I have left some questions in the comments section for you to continue on this study of Micah chapter 3. You can do that when you're done. And y'all have a great night. We'll see you this Sunday at 10:30 a.m. All right. So, my question to you, does anybody have any prayer needs?